We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 1,453 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Bruce Adams for Tech Tuesday. How are you, Bruce?
I'm healthy and alive, doing well.
Very good, very good. Tech Tuesday. Shall we start with the Elon Musk cell phone, satellite internet? Should we start with that? Because that I saw that Musk tweeted a couple of days ago that the first successful download of an unmodified Samsung Android phone was able to download a file from the Starlink network at 17 megs per second.
Yep. They just did, it was a 60 meg file altogether. But it's kind of in the testing phases right now. They're eventually planning to roll out a plan with T-Mobile. They're in the works with it. I think they announced it last year. They're going to provide voice data and SMS through the Starlink system. So you'll basically be able to, when they get it finished, use your cell phone unmodified, you know, no add-ons or any of that kind of stuff from anywhere in the world, pretty much. Anywhere that Starlink has access. Currently, the plan is to tie it together with T-Mobile. It'll be like an add-on. It's not going to be a replacement yet. They don't have the satellite coverage just yet. Currently, they're rolling out the SMS service, but then come next year, they're planning to roll out the voice and data.
So satellite phones are going to be a thing of the past.
It's going to make your cell phone they're calling it a direct to cell. So basically, it's coming from the satellite directly to your cell phone. There is no, you know, cell phone tower in between that you're in accessing or anything. It does access cell phone towers until, if you're calling someone on the on that Starlink network, but you're not on the Starlink network, you're going to continue going through, you know, the towers as normal. But then that gets transmitted to a Starlink system to the other user. So it'll eventually get there. Honestly, I think this is going to replace cell phone towers in the future. If this keeps going, being able to use your cell phone anywhere in the world and you have one provider and it's kind of like uniform, like they're not going to have roaming charges or any of those kind of things because it's all the same network around the world. I think this is going to be what they're going to do in the future.
You don't really have roaming charges now. I mean, the way that, at least in Western countries, when you go to them, you can just, with the SIM cards now, as long as your phone is unlocked, then you can just buy a prepaid SIM for, you know, $20 or $30, euros, pounds, or whatever, and it'll give you a month's worth of service wherever you are. And with the way we make data calls now, like there's really, like, the long distance phone call is the thing of the past. I can't tell you the last time I made a long distance phone call.
Yeah. And with this network, there's going to be no reason to ever charge those silly rates again. They're not going to have an excuse to ever go back to that kind of a system. So honestly, I'm excited about seeing what this will do. There is going to be problems with it, though. Like, for example, if it's storming out, you're going to have problems with cell phone coverage because, the electromagnetic buildup in the clouds could potentially block the signal coming through the cloud cover. So you may lose coverage there. So until we figure that out, we won't do away with the cell phone towers altogether.
And then you also have to have that's the downside of having I don't think the towers are going to go away at all because you're still going to, like, they might work with the actual satellites in orbit, but the towers aren't going to go away. And the reason I say they're not going to go away is because there is a downside to satellite phones right now. They don't work inside. You have to be outside to use them. So, you know, these TV shows and things like that, where you see somebody inside of like a, you know, a vehicle or, a, you know, something where they're on a satellite phone. No, that just that doesn't work like that. Unless you have an outside antenna, it doesn't
this
work
one,
that way.
This one, though, because it's using it's basically mimicking the LTE network and sending it straight to it may still work because the satellites are closer. It may still go through like your house roof, you know, if it's not like a metal roof, if it's a tile roof or something or, you know, shingles, it'll probably go through it just fine. But if you have a metal roof, I doubt it'll go through it. I don't know if you ever visit like a warehouse or a shopping center or something like that with a metal roof and steel beams, you lose service inside there. Whereas, you know, you may have good service in a brick home or a wooden or whatever. You don't lose service there. It's because the metal is interfering. So I imagine it'll be something similar like that. Though right now they have problems with data loss with the network. They said with this download that they just did a test run of, they had a 15% packet loss. That's pretty substantial. Not uncommon for satellites, though. I was on a satellite internet service back in the day, and 15% isn't uncommon. It does cause some hiccups and stuff with data transfer, but that's still pretty good for a first go around. As things improve, those numbers will lessen, though they'll go lower. Really, you want to have it in a like 1% or less range is ideal.
I think they'll get there. I mean, we were looking at speeds, data speeds with the first Starlink download systems, and they're looking to get it down to, I think you said under a millisecond or right around 1 millisecond, like the latency and everything. And they're getting closer.
Yeah, the transmission between satellites is like speed of light almost. I mean, minus the processing time between on the satellite itself. But I mean, they're using lasers to communicate with other satellites, and that's basically the speed of light. So it's actually faster than fiber optics, believe it or not. Fiber optics has, because of the medium the light is traveling through, the fiber optics cable, that actually slows down the light traveling through it. So by doing it in space, there is no medium, it's a vacuum, so it'll travel at basically the speed of light. It might be slightly slower because it could pass through a pocket of radiation or gas or something. You know, there could be something it travels through. So looking forward to it. This will be interesting. This is going to be a good advance for developing countries, or if you're just someone that likes to hike and travel, you'll not have to buy a new device for hiking and travel. You can just use the smartphone that you use on your daily.
Looking forward to seeing what that's going to look like. You know, there's already a phone out there now. I think it's called the Cat S72. It's an Android smartphone that actually has, I think that's what it's called. I don't know. It's been a while since I looked at it, but it has access to the new Bullet system that's in orbit that costs €5 or $5 a month. And it's just SMS only. But it is one that does have access to satellite networks already.
This is also going to, for satellite providers, this is already causing problems for companies like HughesNet. That was one of the companies I used back in the day. And hope it does hurt their business, because that was really, they charged. We had, I think it was back in the day, it was 600 megabytes was the limit back in the day.
Wow.
And you hit that limit within, you know, visiting a couple web pages, and then it throttled your speeds to basically dial up. So I'm not sad to see them go, but they've apparently already lost 224,000 subscribers just from 2023.
Keep with the marketplace, Jack. That's
exactly.
Just keep with the times. That's all you have to do.
Yep. And that's all to Starlink.
I don't feel sorry for them. They made their fortune. Go enjoy it. You know, go to Disneyland. That's all I can say. Speaking of Disneyland, let's talk about the moon for just a minute, right? Everything is a moonshot now, right? So all the countries are putting landers and everything up there, right? So that's a step, right? The Chinese have decided they're going to work with the Russians on something. It's strange how they work together. You know, it's odd, isn't it? How they work together on things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like they've been doing it the entire time. China will install a sprawling all-seeing surveillance system on the moon to protect, you see, it's always to protect their lunar base. It's going to be a Disneyland-sized facility that's going to be up there. It's good, along with the Russians. It's going to be a 4-mile radius as to how big it's going to be. It's going to be a large thing. It's an all-seeing surveillance system on the moon to protect a planned lunar base bigger than Disneyland, using the Skynet technology they already use now to spy on their own citizens and do the social credit system. They're going to be using that same technology in there. They want to use the successful experience, you see, successful experience of their social credit system, their surveillance system, to protect the planned base against suspicious targets. They don't say what those are, of course. It's according to the research paper that was written by scientists at the National Space Agency that was published in an academic journal. This system that they use now, their surveillance system, is the largest surveillance network in the world, and it's used to monitor every single part of anything that's in anybody's life in China. That includes 600 million cameras, by the way. That's on average of one camera for every two adults in the entire country of China. Bruce, you're shaking your head. This is a great success, comrade. What's wrong with you?
Great success. Yeah, just a little tidbit on those cameras. You can actually blind them using infrared light. Yeah, just kind of a little factoid for you.
Didn't know that. You mean you could put some of those infrared diodes in like a hat or something with a little lead with a battery or something, and you wear it on your head and you mean your face won't get shunk? Really? I didn't know that.
You could do that or put it in your clothing to make it more difficult to see you as a whole.
Interesting. Not that we know how to do that or anything.
No,
of course not. The lunar version of the program would see cameras equipped with AI chips, of course. You know where those are going to come from. Capable of identifying, locating, tracking, and aiming at suspicious targets independently, and to scan the proposed International Lunar Research Station. So there you go.
Interestingly enough, because it's the moon, the laws that apply on Earth don't technically apply to the moon. So I imagine that's going to be a loophole as far as politics is concerned. Yeah, I'm honestly no surprise. Not surprised China's doing something like that. That's so fishy. Whatever. I don't know what good it's going to do them necessarily, because, like I said, cameras are really easy to counter. I'm not really sure what they're hoping to gain.
This is China we're talking about. They say they're going to start building this facility with the Russians, of course. They're looking to get a startup going sometime by 2028. Does that mean you're going to have to actually put people up there? Because they say they're going to fabricate the foundation of this from the actual, like, they're going to fabricate the foundation by making bricks from the soil on the moon. So you're going to have to put people up there, right?
You either have to put people up there or automated machinery or something to go up there. So, yeah.
This is China we're talking about.
They might be able to make like a handful of bricks. They might get away with making a few bricks before the machines break down.
It is possible. Now, they say that it could be. Now, this could be it, too. They also say this, you know, that President Xi ordered the construction of, you know, mass production and construction of all those robots. Right. So it is possible that they could send those up there, because they say that Ding Lian, or Li Yun, who's an expert from the Chinese Academy of Engineering, said a team is designing a robot named Chinese Super Masons to make bricks out of lunar soil.
Don't bricks need, don't you need water to mix in there first, you know, to, and then you bake it and.
Yeah, you got to put them, kiln fire them and then, you know, to harden them up, you know, cure them, and then they have to be laid out and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm curious, how are you going to get the water up there without doing tons of, I mean, I know we found ice on the moon, but I don't think you want to start drilling for ice, because the dust that you kick up is going to take a while to settle. There's already a thin layer of dust that hovers over the moon already, but you're going to make it worse if you start doing drilling and that kind of stuff. So I'm really curious how they're going to. Well, that's true. That's China.
This is China. This is a government and an economy that cares so much about the environment. You see,
That's a fair point. You could go and take a look at their. Go on. I know you love Google Maps, but you can go to Google Maps and do the on the street view, the walk arounds of their streets and parks and whatnot, and you can see how well they take care of the environment. So I'm sure they're going to be bringing their A game to the moon and ensuring they're not going to cause any kind of long-term damage or you know, polluting or any of that kind of stuff on the moon.
Yes, of course. Of course. You know, China is going to be looking after all that stuff. All that's been taken into consideration. It's part of all their research and everything they're going to do. So you don't have to worry about that. Speaking of China, you know, they're supposedly in the process of making a new Hyperloop train. They say that they have hit a record-breaking speed of 387 miles per hour, which could outpace a plane. Right now, they have broken that record, which is faster than the Japanese maglev train, which is just a little bit slower than that. But this, again, this is just a test facility that they've created, so it's not actually a working thing. So there is that. But they say this will be a floating Hyperloop train. This is one of those vacuum tubes. I think the Emirates were actually working on something like this to cut the time from, I think it was Dubai to Abu Dhabi. And I think they were looking to make that trip in 30 minutes or something like that. This will, if once they complete it, this will hit speeds of, what did I say? 1,243 miles per hour once they, you know, get the vacuum established. Again, this is China we're talking about here. So there's no way that there could be a problem where the vacuum would implode or something like that. There'd never be a problem with that.
No, there won't be any problems with that.
No.
I do have a problem with what's being reported, though, is the 300-plus kilometers per hour.
Miles, yeah.
Oh, is it miles? Okay, they did convert it to miles. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure how that's going to be faster than aircraft, because the average airliner flies at 500 miles per hour. So well, I'm not really sure how they're fast.
They say it could outpace a plane one day.
Oh, okay. This is speculation that eventually it might be able to outpace a plane.
Well,
okay.
You see, if they hit that speed that they say they're going to hit at 1,243 miles per hour, you see the Concorde, you know, the supersonic jet, that was 1,354 miles per hour. So you see, they're going to build that on land. And that's,
so you're going to break the sound barrier in a tube.
Yes. Yes. In a vacuum tube. Yeah. That's what's going to happen there.
I guess that would be okay, because the vacuum would not carry the sound wave. So that'd be fine. Geez, that sounds a bit sketchy. I don't know that they're going to, you know, Chinese engineering. I have my doubts that they're going to achieve it.
Now, hold on a minute. Hold on. Before you get to that part, let's just look at how they're going to create the energy to power this thing. The entire tube is going to be layered across the top from beginning to end with solar panels.
Oh, so it's definitely not going to work.
It's not going to work.
if that's your plan, that's...
Oh, it gets better. No. It gets better. Hold on. They say it's going to be a partial vacuum, not a full one.
To be fair, we can't technically make a full vacuum. So to be fair, that would be correct. Even in a laboratory, you can't make a perfect vacuum. If we were to pump all the air out of a space, there's still air in there that we can't get out, just because the gases start expanding and the atoms get further and further apart from one another. And then eventually you just can't pull any more out. It's just not possible. So technically they're right, but when they say partial vacuum, I'm suspecting they mean they're going to decrease the pressure by like half, which is nowhere near a vacuum, but that would lessen air resistance and you could potentially go faster that way. So yeah, we'll definitely see what they do, but I imagine there's going to be some kind of disaster tied to this when it comes to China, just because their engineering is not the best quality. I do hope that this is something that could be a future transportation system, like globally, because if you take it into account, let's say this functions like a subway or something like that, it could potentially be faster than aircraft and could be more efficient than aircraft. This is possible, at least for domestic travel. Sounds pretty neat, honestly. But again, there's so many things that could go wrong with this. It feels like this would be way more dangerous than flying in an aircraft.
And again, this is, you know, you're getting quality when it says made in China.
Yeah, because what happens? Let's say you're traveling at that 1,000 miles per hour or whatever they're saying, you know, or
well, to put that in perspective. Yeah, to put that into perspective, that's 2,500 kilometers per hour in metrics.
What is that, like Mach? What is that, Mach 2 or something like that?
That's close, yeah.
Almost. Pretty close to Mach 2. The problem is, what happens that partial vacuum that they have? What happens if they spring a leak? It's the same thing that would happen on the space station. If the space station springs a big enough leak, that you get explosive decompression. It explodes, quite literally. The same thing will happen with this tube if there's a
leak and the pressures are strong enough, it'll rip a giant hole into the side of that tube. What happens if that, at the end of the tube that ruptures and you're traveling at 1,000 miles per hour down that tube and all of a sudden you hit a massive gust of wind that rips into the train, could do some damage to the train. There's a lot of, the people inside, there's a lot of injuries that could be sustained. So there's problems that are tied to this, but hey, it's China, so clearly they have all that planned out. They know exactly how to solve all those problems. I'm sure they have it all worked out.
Shudder the thought that there would be a problem to begin with, comrade. What's wrong with you? But perhaps you need to reevaluate and you need to do some self-critiquing and then come back.
Yes. The Communist Party has it all done.
They've thought of everything. Every last contingency has been planned out and thought out and worked out, and there's not going to be any problem. You see, it's already a success. They've already hit that goal. Now they just need to build it, right? It's already a success. It's kind of like the 5-year plans they had in the Soviet Union. It was already a success before they were even announced. You know, it's just one of those things.
To their whole Soviet Union's success and everything, I just watched for the first time Chernobyl here this weekend because I just don't watch TV shows. Anyway, watched it, and that encapsulates the success rate of both China and Russia's engineering prowess. That pretty much encompasses it.
Yes, it certainly does. You know, they're looking at doing this in a city called Wuhan, China. Have you heard of Wuhan? A city called Wuhan?
That name kind of, it rings a bell for some reason.
Some reason. Yeah, I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's just strange. I feel like I've heard that Chinese city name before, and I just can't quite put my finger on where.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Like you said, I'm struggling to remember where we've heard that name before.
I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those coincidences. You never know. Well, since we were talking about space, do we have aliens in our backyard?
You know, actually, to that, I just read there was a Ukrainian drone pilot or something like that was reporting on some giant rectangular shaped UFO that was the size of the Empire State Building. Yeah, he apparently seen that. And it was just hovering, floating in the air while the wind was blowing really strongly and everything, and it wasn't moving. I did hear about that. So maybe we have aliens.
Well, I don't know. They're kind of alluding to this one, saying that because we have over 300 moons within our solar system in total. So it's not just ours, but with all the other satellites that are orbiting all the other planets. They say that some of these have the perfect conditions to harbor life.
They have conditions that might. I could agree with might harbor life, but that's kind of a stretch. Like, for example, I think Europa and Titan, those two were kind of rumored to maybe it houses life because, the oceans that are down, like the methane oceans and all of that. But here's the problem. The planets that they're close to emit a large amount of radiation. So living things tend to, their DNA kind of tends to rupture. And another thing that they showed very well in Chernobyl when I watched, referencing that again. Yeah, it causes a lot of cellular decay and things can't survive. Maybe a silicon-based life form might survive that, but then you run into the problem of radiation destroys electronics as well. So
yeah, we don't even know that
based things would fall apart.
We don't even have proof that silicon-based life exists, do we?
I've not read anything about it.
Jupiter's moon Europa, that's one of them, has CO2 on its surface. Jupiter's moon Callisto may have salty ocean beneath, so they don't actually know. Salty ocean beneath its surface, which could be a potential habitat for life. Jupiter's Ganymede? I don't know.
Yeah, Ganymede.
Ganymede. The solar system's largest moon is thought to have water and rock interacting, which is the key for development of life. Neptune's moon Triton is known to be geologically active and has an atmosphere made mostly of nitrogen, just like Earth. They recently found two more moons. One was surrounding, is it Uranus or Uranus? I don't know. I can never get that right. And then two around Neptune. So undiscovered are likely around giant planets like Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune. But they can only be confident that they've discovered the larger moons in the solar system and the around the other planets. But I'm with you on this one. I think it's a stretch because you're looking at it would be microscopic, if anything. So there's no way to actually prove it without sending like probes there. And I don't even think, have we actually done that? Like we sent the Soviets sent one to, was it Venus? And
then
the thing was crushed in like what, 3 minutes or something like that?
I don't even think it touched the surface of the planet before it was crushed.
No, it did.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Maybe I'm thinking of the one that went to Jupiter, because we did send one into Jupiter's atmosphere.
Okay. And then we sent something. Did we send one to Titan, the moon there? We sent something recently.
We've sent one. I don't think it went to Titan's surface, but it did like a flyby kind of a thing and did a bunch of photos and readings and all that kind of stuff. I don't think it's possible, though, because the moons that are there, you have to be 6 meters below the surface to survive the radiation. So maybe there is bacteria or something like that on one of those planets or on those moons that can survive the gas giant's radiation. But you would have to get the organic life there first to evolve. So I don't know, because it would have died on the surface.
Yeah, but a lot of these are just like frozen balls of nitrogen just hanging out there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't think it's possible, because you do have to have some heat. Maybe ones with high geological activity, that it's warm enough on the surface that there could be something there. But then if you get, you know, because look at the gas vents in the the thermal vents in the ocean, right? You have a lot of life forms that live around that, and they're in pitch black darkness. So and under high pressure. So maybe that could be something. But I don't know. I'm going to say no. I don't think it's possible. Not life as we know it, sentient being life. But if you're considering life as a single celled organism, maybe you might find some pond scum or something there. That's possible, I guess. Maybe.
I'm going to go with you. It's a stretch, and you're going to have to do a lot of scientific advancements in order to figure this one out. So, I don't see that happening. You have anything else today?
Cool to find out. I mean,
it would be. Know. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Of course, we don't want to be bringing any of that stuff back here, because with the mad scientists that are political scientists now, we don't want to have any of that now, do we? You ever seen the movie Life?
We have another.
Yeah. I would recommend you not mess with that stuff. Just saying.
We take great pains to sterilize the satellites that we put into space. We actually make sure there's no bacteria or virus or any of that kind of stuff on those before we send them to space, just in case there is life out there. We don't infect it with something from ours and like cause a massive epidemic and kill off an entire species of something, whether it's other bacteria or, you know, what have you. Yeah,
I'm sure that the Chinese, when they put a satellite up there, I'm sure they followed the same practice.
Absolutely. I'm like we said, the CCP is on top of that, and so is the Soviet Union. I mean, the Russians.
No, you had it right. You had it right. All right, we're going to go ahead and call this one done. It's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I'll see you later in the week. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.